Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need, but there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for hanging out with us. We're glad you're here. Regarding, we don't care where you are. We don't care how you're listening. We don't care when you're listening. Some of you are listening on the radio across North America. We thank you for that very much. We consider the stations who take our show among the highly intelligent members of the radio industry. And some of you are listening all around the world on the internet to our simulcast. And then some of you will be listening later when we podcast this. We make it available to you in the archives for years to come. So we're glad you're here. You're going to be glad you did, because we got a special guest, ladies and gentlemen. Bernard Goldberg is with us. You know who Bernard is. He's was a mainstay in media and television media for years. He was an outstanding reporter and producer with CBS News. He's also worked with HBO, as you know. And he's won 8 Emmy Awards for his work. He also won the most prestigious of all broadcast journalism awards, the Alfred DuPont Columbia University Award. He's the author of a number of books, including 100 People Who Screwed Up America, Bias, which is one of my favorite books, and the new book, Crazies to the Left of Me, Wimps to the Right. You've seen him on television many times before. Bernie Goldberg, welcome to the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Jim. I wish I could. You can go on a little longer with that introduction. It sounded pretty good.
Well, it's, you know, your mom sent it over, and I try to do what she says, you know.
Yeah.
Bernie, one of the things that I like the way you termed your book, and what I've been saying for a long time is that Democrats were so dominant in Congress for 4 decades. And so both parties during that 4 decades, they actually learned how to be successful in those roles as the majority and the minority. The Republicans found a way to be somewhat successful as in the minority. But when the roles reversed in the 90s, Democrats could never get over being in the minority, and Republicans could never get the hang of being in the majority. And that turned ugly in the 90s, didn't it?
Well, it did, and in 2000, when a Republican was elected president, the Republicans went over the cliff. I mean, now they have control of the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. And don't forget, Republicans. In the title of my book, Crazies to the Left, Wimps to the Right, the wimps to the right are not conservatives. The wimps, they're not conservatives. I want to emphasize the word not.
Right.
They're Republicans who don't have the guts to stand up for their conservative values. So in 2000, when Republicans took over everything in Washington, and they told us they were the grown-ups, they were the party that would look out for our money, they were the ones who were responsible with money, what did they do? They spent our tax money, and when I say our tax money, I want to make clear, everybody listening to us right now pays taxes. They spent our money as if they were Imelda Marcos in a shoe store.
Exactly.
I mean, they went on a spending spree. They sold out their conservative values, and in 2006, I'm not saying this was the biggest reason. I think Iraq was the biggest reason.
Right.
But
right.
In 2006, the voters said, you know what, don't pander. You know, don't spend money like crazy thinking you're going to bribe us and we'll keep you in office forever.
So, Bernie, is it now clear then, isn't it, that the party, the big spending party of the United States, of American politics, is not the Democrats, it's not the Republicans, it's the party in power?
Yeah, that's a very interesting way to put it. I do think that all things being equal... Well, that's not a good way to put it, as you'll see what I'm about to say. I think if the Republicans are in power or the Democrats are in power, they'll both spend our money like it's nobody's money, but Democrats are worse.
Well,
Democrats at least don't lie to us. They will spend like crazy and then raise our taxes. Republicans, I mean, they spend like crazy, but they don't want to raise our taxes.
At least when you elect a Democrat, you know what you're getting, right?
That's exactly the point.
Yeah. Well, you know, then my friend Steve Moore with the Wall Street Journal calls them rhinos, Republican in name only.
Yeah. Yeah, and those are the Northeast Republicans, but I'm talking about all sorts of Republicans threw fiscal responsibility out the window because they were in power. I mean, you know, power is a really corrupting influence. They just thought that they actually thought they'd be there forever if they spent enough money, and it worked the other way around.
Well, it amazed me that the Democrats were able to stay in power in Congress for all those decades, and the Republicans, which I think should have had a better idea, blew it. In barely more than 10 years, and that's not a good game plan for the Republicans. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's almost 20 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our guest is Bernard Goldberg, award-winning journalist, and he's the author of the new book, Crazies to the Left of Me, Wimps to the Right of Me, and he's also, as you know, a best-selling author of many books, including his other book, the one just before this, Bias. 20 till, stay with us. Here's Robert Cray to take us out. We're back. It's 17 till. There's that little band from Texas. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our new friend. Actually, he seems like an old friend, Bernard Goldberg. Bernie, you seem like an old friend. I've been watching you for so long over the years. I've admired your work for so long. I think probably Americans, that's one of the reasons I think Americans are gravitating towards your books, because they feel like they've known you a long time.
Well, I thank you for that, but you know, I think one of the reasons is that I'm catching up with the American people.
Were you behind for a while, Bernie?
What's that?
Were you behind for a while?
Well, I'll tell you, I knew about liberal bias in the news, for instance, because I was at CBS News for 28 years.
Right.
But when I wrote Bias, the reason it became a number one bestseller was because everybody out there knew about this. They saw the biases, but nobody from a mainstream media point of view had been talking about it.
Right.
So when I came out and was the first regular mainstream reporter who had worked for a big mainstream news organization, CBS News, and said, conservatives are right, there is a liberal bias, you know, that's what catapulted the book. So, you know,
even though it had been winked at and nudge, nudge about it over the years, and people didn't really deny it so much, you were the first one that really eviscerated the myth and laid it out on the table.
Yeah, the emperor's not wearing any clothes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to talk about the Iraq War for a second. Bernie, on this show for over 4 years now, about every 2 months, I have interviewed somebody on the ground in Iraq on what's going on. And my audience has gotten the real report about what's happening, the good and the bad and the ugly. For example, if you watch the mainstream media, all you see is that there are bombs going off over there. If you listen to the Small Business Advocate show every couple of months, you'll find out, that, as we did a couple of weeks ago, that they're about to turn the Baghdad, the Iraqi stock market, into an electronic edition. They're about to make it an electronic stock market. Now, I haven't seen that in the New York Times or any of those papers. Have you, Bernie?
Well, you know the answer to that. No.
Yeah.
But why aren't
our men and women, if they talk about we respect, you know, we admire the soldiers, et cetera, why aren't they giving our men and women, civilians as well, who are over there putting their life on hold and in harm's way, why aren't they giving those people the credit for the work that they're doing?
Well, the media would, first of all, the media, the big national media says that it's fair. It isn't. And here's precisely.
That's right.
Here's, from my point of view anyway, here's why. They can tell us that, well, like anything else, bad news is news, but good news isn't. That's true if they don't report that the First National Bank down on Main Street did not get robbed today.
Right. Or 10,000 airplanes landed safely.
You don't have to report that the plane, at Montgomery Airport landed safely today, because we know that. You'd have to be an idiot not to know that most planes land safely and most banks don't get robbed today, okay? But the only way we could know about what's going on in Iraq is through the news media.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way. I mean, I know the bank didn't get robbed, even if they don't tell me, but I don't know what's going on in Iraq except through the news media. So when they only tell me the bad stuff, and by the way, my position has always been, give us the bad news, go out and find more bad news, give us as much bad news as you've got, and then give us the rest of the story,
mm-hmm.
because that's the only way we're going to know the whole picture of what's going on over there.
But even Fox doesn't report, in my opinion, they don't do a good enough job reporting about what's really going on in Iraq. And as a father of a son who spent two tours in Iraq, it really irritates me that the good things that we do over there are not reported. But when we show a Marine throwing a dog off of a cliff over there, you know, that's the big news for a week.
Right.
Imbalance is what makes me mad.
Yeah, I think there are two things at work. One is the liberal philosophy, but in some cases, like in the case of Fox, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm guessing that the reason they haven't put on a lot of news from Iraq is because it isn't good for ratings.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People are
yeah.
sick of that war. I think even people who supported the war, are saying
we want
this thing over with.
Yeah, some resolution.
If President Bush is going to have a big idea, which he did, a much bigger idea than Bill Clinton ever had, which was creating a democracy, helping create a democracy in a very nasty part of the world. That's a big idea. But you know what? Then you have an obligation to execute that idea.
Right, which
not
did
just
not
to
happen.
Talk about it.
Which did not happen. Let's leave that topic and talk about – I have another question for you. What's wrong with liberalism? And I'm going to ask you in a minute the same thing about conservatives. What's wrong with liberalism?
I think liberals forgot how to be liberal. I'll give you a couple of examples real quick. When by the way, crazy to the left and me, went to the right, I started out as a liberal. I was a liberal Democrat. I grew up in a lower middle class working, you know, my father worked in a factory, that kind of place,
mm-hmm.
and everybody I knew was a Democrat, everybody, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean almost everybody, I mean everybody. So when I got older, you know, like in my teenage years and in my 20s, like most decent Americans, I was for civil rights. But then I had to also be for affirmative action if I was going to be on the team. And I said, well, but why is it that a doctor's son who's black or a lawyer's son who's black, tell me why he should get extra points for college admission or a job
mm-hmm.
over the son of a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant coal miner?
Mm-hmm.
The coal miner's not privileged. So I said, I can't be on, you know, that troubled me. Feminism, hey, I was for equal rights for women, absolutely. But that wasn't good enough either.
Right.
I had to be for a woman's right to be a firefighter, even if she couldn't carry a big man out of a burning building. And I said, you know what? Liberals have moved too far to the left.
Yep.
I can't be on that team anymore.
Well, that's when logic went out the window, that's when you left, it sounds like. Stand
exactly.
by, Tintil. We're going to be right back with Bernard Goldberg, the author of Crazies to the Left of Me, Wimps to the Right to Me. This is his brand new book, out in paperback, wherever books are sold. Check it out. Stay with us. They're the Drifters bringing us back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. We're visiting with Bernard Goldberg. Bernie is the author of Crazies to the Left of Me, Wimps to the Right to Me. Bernie, you got a website you want to give us?
BernardGoldberg.com. You can click right on the book, and if you find any of this interesting, anyway, you can click right on the book, and it goes right straight to Amazon. There's a forum for people who care about the country and the culture. You could just start. You could just share your opinions with other people, and it's a pretty interesting forum.
And folks, Bernie has agreed to join us again in the future, so we're going to have a lot more conversations with him, and it'll be interesting to see his perspective on as the election moves forward. Bernie, I ask you, what's wrong with liberalism? You gave us a little bit of that. What's wrong with conservatism?
Well, if I'm going to speak truth to power here, I'm going to offend a lot of my friends in the Deep South.
Go for it.
I like conservatives when they're fiscally responsible. I like conservatives when they're tough on terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
There are some conservatives, though, who believe, and I like people of faith, but I am really troubled when people of faith think the Bible is a science book.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And
I agree with you 100%.
And they want to impose certain religious things into science, and I am just simply against that.
The Bible
I don't have a problem with these things being taught in religion class, comparative religion, social studies, or anything like that, but not in science class.
The Bible is my theology book. It's a darn good history book. It's a darn good anthropology book. It is not my science book.
Right.
And I agree with you. But see the thing.
But
I get in a lot of trouble,
my friend.
Well, Bernie, you can't do it any other way. You have to speak the truth. That's the only way you're wired. And I'm
right.
And I admire you about that. That's the reason why your books are selling, because people know that you tell the truth. But Bernie, the thing is those are the extremists on the right. Then you've got the extremists on the left. Why can't the folks who are in the two middle quartiles? Why can't we take back control of this country?
Well, I think they do, in that the election is always decided by those two middle groups. We know that.
But those aren't the people who are having the debate.
Those aren't the people who get attention. That's absolutely
right.
True. That's a different question, though. In other words, you're not going to hear on the cable talk shows people who say, on the one hand this, on the other hand that. And by the way, my book, despite the title, Crazy to the Left, Wimps to the Right, I am not in the middle. I am on the right. I was on the left once upon a time, and as I said in the last segment, the left kept moving further and further to the left, so I wound up on the right. I am not in the middle. But mm-hmm. those people in the middle don't make for good guests on cable
right.
television.
Yeah, you're right. I think you're right about that.
So,
Bernie, listen, I've just got so many things to ask you. Let's talk about the election. I got to get your perspective on the election. It's kind of over for Hillary, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. I think it pretty much is. And I think this is an election for the Democrats to lose. I mean, Democrats ought to win because parties don't normally win three times in a row. Normally,
right.
Not every time, but normally.
Right.
The president is very unpopular, and the war in Iraq is very unpopular. This should be the Democratic opportunity. But as a famous Israeli statesman, Abba Iban, once said of the Arabs, they never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity. And it's the same with the Democrats. So this demolition derby that they're having is only helping John McCain.
Are they going to get out of this before the convention? The Clintons.
The Clintons are
not going to go quietly, are they? I don't care.
No, not generally. But if she loses in Pennsylvania, which is not likely.
Right.
But if she does, I think she's got to drop out. Otherwise,
right. But if she wins in Pennsylvania, that gives her a new life, and she's going to fight this thing. Listen, they're going to do whatever it takes because this is their last stand.
Yes, and she's going to make the case that even though I don't have as many votes as he does, even though I don't have as many electoral votes as he does,
right?
Who has won the last few? Who has won the biggest states? Who can beat John McCain? And I don't think that's going to. I don't believe that's going to convince the superdelegates, but if it does, that's her only hope.
Can McCain beat Obama?
I think he can, but if you ask me today who I think is going to win, and I know the election isn't today, and I know in politics, you know, a week is a lifetime,
right.
Let alone 6 or 7 or 8 months.
Right.
But if you ask me today, I fear it's going to be President Obama.
Yeah, it's not looking too good.
I say fear. Because he's just too liberal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't have any...
He's the most liberal senator in the Senate.
Yeah, I think he's eloquent. Yeah. I think he's clearly bright. I think he's the one thing you have to be in politics. He's likable, but way too liberal.
Yeah, I think he needs some seasoning. Hey, Bernie, I've enjoyed having you here. I hope you have enjoyed being here.
I enjoyed every second of it, Jim.
And we'll get you back again real soon. Thanks for your time.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Congratulations on your book, too. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'm glad you stayed with me today.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.